Good morning. Welcome to Worship Era St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today we're going to be reflecting on the last chapter of the Good Book and what that means for us, both relating to the beginning of the book and also here in the middle as we are trying to faithfully live out God's calling for our lives. But with that in mind, I invite you to stand as we begin our service as we always do, beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, this morning that we get to gather in your presence and hear your word and return praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord, for all that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would be here and present among us, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we may continue to grow in our faith, Lord, and continue to grow in our love and knowledge of you. All these things we pray in your name. Amen. All right, let us confess our sins. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to the God who has forgiven us.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord. Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And the first reading is from Genesis 2, verses 4 through 16. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden."
The sermon scripture reading for today is Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no more need. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. This is God's word for us today. It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would find your way forward and stay outside the rail, that would be really great. And Laura Falls has the message for you guys today.
Hello, everyone. Come on, sit on this purple carpet here. Hello, hello, come on up. How are you all? You good? All right. Anybody know what's happening this week?
VBS.
How did you know?
Because
she's all knowing. She knows everything. Okay, anybody know where we're going for VBS this week?
Here.
Well, okay, here literally, but where figuratively? Anybody know? Okay, it says True North on our shirts. Any guesses now? What do you think? We are going to Alaska. I love Alaska. It's such a great state up there. And there is a really important thing up in Alaska called the Yukon River. Anybody heard of the Yukon River? Some of you older kids. Why do you think the Yukon River is so important to the people of Alaska? List off some things. What might the river be doing in Alaska for them? What do you think? Why is the Yukon River, it's a huge river, why is it so important? Okay, so the animals, like what kind of animals? Okay, so polar bears, grizzly bears, they need the river for drinking. Okay. So the animals need the river for drinking. Okay, what else? Why would the Yukon River be so important? It's the people who live along the Yukon River. That is their water supply. Because do they get a water bill every month from the water district?
No.
No, they don't. Okay, so that is their water supply. What else? Why do you think it's so important?
Boating, that kind of stuff, traffic.
It is their highway. All right, during the summer, they take a boat. And during the winter, what happens to the water in the winter? It freezes because it's cold up there. So what do they do in the winter?
They drive.
Yeah, usually snowmobile, right? Okay, maybe a four-wheeler, depending. All right, so it is their highway. Any other reasons why the Yukon might be important? Animals are drinking there. It's their water. Fishing. The salmon run upstream in the Yukon River, and that is a huge food source for both animals and people. So, is the river a really big deal in Alaska?
Yes.
Huge deal. Huge deal. Okay. So, did you hear in both of our readings that we talked about the river of life? Did you hear that in our readings today? Okay. So, do we need water physically? Yes, we do. I've got my pack here. I'm ready to go to Alaska. I've got water. I even have the dog's water bowl because my dog needs water when we go hiking. Okay. But even more than that, even more than we need water for life, we need who? God. Do you know one of the names that we call Jesus? He is the living water. He is the king. He's also the living water. There is a verse in Psalm 1 that says, this is Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the Lord's law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So where do we draw our everyday knowledge of what's good and evil from? The Bible. And who helps us to do that, to know what's the right choice and what's the wrong choice? God. And is Jesus with us all the time as the living water? Is he giving us that guidance through the Holy Spirit? And is he giving us that hope? Yeah. And is Jesus our true north that we're going to learn about this week? Yes. And is it a wild world out there? It's a wild world out there, both in Alaska and here in St. Louis area too, right? It's a crazy wild world. But if we trust Jesus, who is our living water and gives us everything we need, will we know what to do and how to live? And are we so thankful for that? Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our living water. Thank you for giving us all that we need. And thank you for dying on the cross for our forgiveness of sins. Help us to spread that message to everybody we meet, so they would know you as the living water. All these things we pray in your son's name. Amen.
All right. I invite children ages 4 through 4th grade, if you'd like to join for a little worship, you can go that way to the cross. As long as you have your parents' permission, please have your parents' permission. Don't just run away and never come back. No, they will come back after the message, I assure you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The last few Sundays that I've been preaching, I've been kind of trekking through the book of Revelation. And for those of you who maybe were here 4 weeks ago, or maybe a good refresher in general for all of us, as we approach the book of Revelation, it's a little bit different as far as the way in which God communicates truth through those words. It's all still words. It's all still God's truth. But the imagery and what that conveys and communicates is a little bit different than how God communicates through, like, the Psalms, the poetry, or through, like, Paul's writing in prose, or like, narrative, as much of the Bible is as well. And so it should encourage us to stop and pause and reflect on the image that is being depicted and what all perhaps God is communicating through that image. And so here we have at the very end of the book, the last chapter, Revelation 22. And this is already after 2 weeks ago we heard from Revelation 21 of the new heaven and the new earth and how God would wipe every tear from their eye and there'd be no more pain or sorrow or suffering for all the former things that passed away. And now suddenly we get a small depiction of what it is going to be like in the age to come. In addition to what was already proclaimed in Revelation 21, where we see it says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." Now, as I was reflecting upon these words, I was recalling a conversation I've had a couple of times. It usually goes something like this. I'll just be chatting with somebody, could be a youth, could be an adult, and suddenly they'll look at me and kind of say, "I got to be honest, I'm not excited about when I think about heaven, what that's going to be like." And I kind of give a quizzical look, and usually they're quick to say, "Oh, don't get me wrong, I don't want to go the other way. But I just, you know, I think it'll be boring." So I asked them, "Well, what do you think heaven is going to be like as you're describing it as boring?" And usually it's something in the realm of, "Well, you know, don't get me wrong, I like Sunday morning worship, but if that's all it is, like 24/7, I don't know how long I could really sit that long or stand or whatever it is. You know, I love praising Jesus and all, but sounds rough." And I bring this up because as I read here at the very end of the book, this depiction, my thoughts go to a different garden at the beginning of the book, where it's describing these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, and the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. Now, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted in the garden in the east, and there he put the man that he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first was the Pishon, and it was one that flowed in the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now, in case you're not familiar with Havilah, you could possibly call it, relating to later on in the Bible, the Promised Land, Canaan. You know, so that whole region there, you know, there's good gold there. Oh, there's also bdellium and onyx there as well, just as a reference for, you know, people who might be reading God's word and might care where God might be placing them later. And the name of the second river was the Gihon, and it flowed all the way to the whole land of Cush. Well, that's Egypt, in case you're not familiar with calling it Cush. Well, and then from there, the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east to Assyria. And the fourth is the river Euphrates, which flows to Babylon. Now, if you know anything about ancient history, is there anything significant as far as the people groups that are in the land of Canaan and the land of Egypt and the land of Assyria and the land of Babylon? The answer should be yes. Pretty much most of the Old Testament covers all of those regions and the people they're in. In other words, this water is the water of life. And the water flows out from Eden, and all the places to which it flows is where great populace of cities build up, and many peoples are formed there and live there and grow there. But then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Just a side point of interest, you can meditate on this later if you want, but the word actually there that says put him is actually rested him in the garden, Noah. But he rested him there in the garden, and at the same time, after resting him there, says, I have a job for you to do. See this garden? I want you to work it and keep it. And the Lord God said to the man, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden. Of course, there's also that command, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now, the reason why I want to juxtapose these two, what I will call river and garden stories against each other, one at the very beginning of the book and one at the very end, is because I think that God wants us to do that. In truth, as you read God's word, there's many times which the way in which God communicates his truth to us is by putting two things together in order that we might meditate on and say what is similar and what is different. So here at the beginning, almost the very beginning, there's a little, you know, chapter 1 that comes before chapter 2. And at the very end, 22, and there's a little something after what I read, we have water flowing and the water is giving forth life. And you have the tree of life springing up, or you have all the trees of the garden flowing, and there is the gift of life to those who are to receive it. And the reason why I'm saying all of this is because as I was reflecting upon these passages, what I will suggest that I believe is that I think in the age to come, which God promises to those who believe, we'll have a job to do. Now, I'm doing a bit of inferring because I'm taking what God has put forth and said, compare this garden with water of life to this garden and see how in the beginning what God created that was good was to take man and to form him and not just say, cool, you can just build yourself a hammock and lie out and the animals are going to bring you coconuts to drink from and you could just chill there. How does that sound? That was not the design. But God said, I'm going to make man in my image. From Genesis 1, he says to the man and woman, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the creatures of the land and every creeping thing that crawls across the ground. He took what was his own authority, God did, and gave it to those who bear his image to say, you will rule in my stead. Care for my creation. And from here you have God resting the man and saying, here is the garden, work it and keep it. Now, I cannot say whether it will be that all of us will be farmers in the age to come, but I truly believe that it won't just be us day and night only singing God's praises. I think there'll be that too, but that's my own beliefs, but I really genuinely think that God, who has called us to be his own, is doing so because he has a plan and a purpose even in the life to come. We will have a job to do. I can't tell you what that is, but it'll be a job that is giving of life, that is fitting into the entirety of the new creation in the age to come. And I want to put this picture forth for you as you consider these things, because I fear that many who are saying, well, I know that heaven's a good place, and I believe that's where I want to be. I definitely don't want to go to the place where there's the absence of God. But I can't really confidently say much beyond that, are missing a beautiful picture before their eyes that can help in the difficult times. Because right now we experience something very different, do we not, when it comes to our work? Because right now we have work that is tainted by our own sin as we approach a job to be done, and it is impacted by others' sin as there is work to be done, and that makes work very grueling. And in fact, if you think about at least the general sense of society and their viewpoint of work, I get a sense that, well, work is the thing I have to do the stuff I really want to do. What I really want to do is all the stuff on the days I don't work. That's the fun stuff. But if I want to do that fun stuff, then I have to do this other thing which gets me the money to do the stuff. And you miss, if that is your philosophy in life, your perspective on how your rhythm of the week after week after week goes, you're missing a beautiful thing in which God has established for his creation and for the creatures that bear his image. Because work is a gift. We are all individuals whom God has created with gifts and talents, that we might use those gifts and talents for the benefit of creation. And in doing this, we are participating in the life which God is giving to his creation. Do you see the difference in the perspective there and how that would shape your approach as you wake up in the morning saying, what work does God have for me to do today? And it might look like cleaning toilets. Or it might look like handing out sandwiches. Or it might look like going and flipping burgers. It might look like going and listening to a coworker with all that they are struggling with. It might look like being the best lawyer you can be. What I'm getting at is that the nature of the work isn't what makes it holy. It's not as though like my pastoral work is so much more holy than what anyone who doesn't have a pastor job to do. But rather, God has created us that we might do good works, which he has prepared ahead of time, as it says in Ephesians. Or as Jesus says, whatever you desire others to do to you, that is what you should do for other people, and thus you fulfill the law and the prophets. You see, God, in his way of caring for his creation, has desired, for whatever reason, to employ we sinful human beings who bear his image to go and do his work. Not that he doesn't do work apart from humans, but it's astounding the ways in which God says, you, sinful human being, I'm going to use you to bless and benefit others who are in need. And yet, time and time again, this is who the creator of the universe is and what he chooses to do. And I believe this is what he intends to do in the age to come as well. And in light of this, then, my encouragement to all of you is to wake up every single morning and say, okay, God, what have you have in store for me today? You have given me my body and soul, my eyes, ears, my all, my members, my reason, all my senses, and you take care of all of them. And in light of this, what do you want me to do? Sure, I have this contractual job maybe that I go to, and I want to give that my all. But what's going to happen between where I wake up and when I get there that you want me to do? What's going to happen while I'm working that job that you want me to do? What's going to happen between there and when I get home that you want me to do? What's going to happen between when I get home and when I go to bed? Because there's so many hours in the day in which our God gives us as a gift. Do you see it for what it is? Do you see what God is at work in your life doing, working both in you and through you for the benefits of those around you? Because this is how the economy of God works astoundingly. He gives to creatures who have no deserving whatsoever of goodness. And in doing so, he encourages, go forth and share that with others. How different do you think your days would be if that is how you woke up and lived until you went to bed? Recognizing that every single moment is a gift from God and it's for the purpose, not for your own selfish desires, but rather for the benefit of working in creation as God calls you to do. Daily, you get to participate in the very work of God. Daily, he says, come with me, and I will show you what I desire you to do. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? So my encouragement this day is to meditate. Meditate on God's word. Talk to God and pray. Say, God, you have made me to be your own and made me so that I might have dominion over that which you have entrusted to my care, which is belonging to you. Guide me that I might be your own and that I might serve those around me in accordance with your will. Amen.
Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Please stand as we confess our faith. We're going to use the words of the Apostles' Creed. And as we confess, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to commission all those who are serving in the Vacation Bible School this week. And this is the God who we are serving this week. This is all the things that he has done for us and the reason that we want to respond by taking care of his little ones. Let's confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, please be seated. And anybody who is taking part in Vacation Bible School this week, whether you are volunteering, teacher, guide, parking lot, whatever you're doing, and including if you are attending Vacation Bible School this week, please come forward at this time. All right, now, Vacation Bible School is one of my favorite times of the year, right alongside Christmas and Easter and the first day of school and the last day of school and the youth mission trip and the adult mission trip, and I'm missing others. There's a lot of favorite times of the year, but I love VBS, and the reason I love VBS so much is because God loves children. I mean, he really, really does. And because of everything God has done for us, because of how God has come into our lives and changed us and given us purpose and meaning and forgiveness and the confidence for the future, because we know that he is in control. And on the last day, he's going to take us to live with him in heaven forever. Because of all that stuff, we want to take care of kids this week. There was a day that the people were trying to bring children to Jesus in Matthew 19. And it says this, is Matthew 19, 13 to 15. Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went from there. And so because Jesus loves children, we love children. And so I ask you, will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for the children you serve this week? And will you strive for excellence in your skills and service? If so, say, "I do." All right. Will you bless the little children who attend VBS this week by helping to teach them from God's word? If so, say, "I will." Will you keep the children and their families in your prayers, asking the Spirit to grow their relationship with him? If so, say, "I will." Congregation, you guys aren't off the hook either. This is an amazing outreach of our congregation to the community and to the people that God loves. And it is your outreach because you are part of this family of God. Will you hold these people up in prayer? Will you pray for the children and their parents that all of them may continue to grow in faith in him? If so, say, "We will." Outstanding. And kids, you guys are part of this whole thing too, right? And the question is, will you have fun this week? Will you listen to your teachers and learn about Jesus? Yeah. Will you pray for your teachers that they will have patience and energy to make it all the way to Friday? Excellent. That is wonderful. Thank you so much. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God, a God above all things, and a God who loves little children. Lord, I pray that you would bless this ministry this week. Lord, give us all strength and energy and endurance and wisdom, Lord, the words to say, the extra patience, Lord, everything that is necessary so that we can continue to love these little ones that you have sent us to care for. Lord, I pray that you would bless this week, that you would be honored through the service of your people, that you would continue to grow the faith in the hearts of children, Lord, that you would be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. And the rest of us, you guys can stand up because it's time to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, such a world you gave us, Lord, and such a beautiful week, Lord, we've had. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our community, Lord, to grow the people here, to use us, Lord, to reach out to them and to show them how much you love them and all that you have done for them, Lord, especially your death and resurrection so that they can be saved. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless, Lord, the VBS ministry, but all the ministries of our church, Lord, as we reach out to this community. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of our brothers and sisters who are down in Guatemala, Lord, our teammates down there, Lord, the ones who are just like we are here reaching out to our community, Lord, that they are down there reaching out to theirs. Lord, we pray that you would also give them endurance and resources and everything that they need, Lord, so that they can carry out your ministry there. Lord, we continue to pray, Lord, for all those who are in the ministries to children, Lord. VBS, Lord, but also Sunday school. Also, just the parents of our congregation who are raising these little people, Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us all, Lord, as we raise these children to be followers of you so that they can have peace and in all circumstances throughout their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would be with all who are sick, ill, or injured today, Lord, that you would continue to bring them healing, Lord, so that they can return to the purpose for which you made them. But Lord, that that all of us would take peace in knowing that one day we will all be whole again in your presence, in your kingdom. Lord, all these things we pray today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Stronger than darkness, you are.
on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood beneath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is
beautiful.
My dear friends, we have once again received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is no small thing. This is no symbolic thing. This is one of the ways that God promises to come to us and to give us the things that we need most, the forgiveness of sins, which is kind of a necessity, and then the strength that we're going to need to continue to live out as Christians in this life and keep our faith until the day he comes again. He is blessing us profoundly through this gift, and because he has blessed us, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Let's stand as we sing the final song together. Friends, please be seated for a moment. First of all, I'd like to release the Sunday school kids. If you guys want to meet Miss Lauren out in the lobby, she will take you away for Sunday school. And let's see here then. Also, adult Bible study is going to be right here in the sanctuary. Pastor Josh is going to be teaching. And then Janine.
Okay, so maybe you've noticed in the bulletin that we're going to be starting a new women's Bible study. And this is something that's kind of been in the works for probably years. I've been talking to different women about this. So ladies, you probably feel the same way I do and a lot of women do, that we know each other's faces. We probably know each other's names. Maybe we know some people well, but a lot of us, we don't really know each other, right? And so we need a place where we can meet regularly and really truly get to know each other. We've got a big church. We've got a growing church, which is a wonderful thing. But we've grown so much, which is fantastic, but we really need a place where we can get to know each other. And I know we have some other ladies' Bible studies, but they meet in the mornings, and a lot of us work. And so we can't come to morning Bible study. So we're going to have one in the evening. So for those of us who work full-time, hopefully this is going to work for us. I know a lot of you are young moms, and you're busy during the days, and your husbands are busy, and so maybe you need a study in the evening where you can come. We have a lot of young ladies in their 20s who are also maybe working, or you're in school, whatever. We want you to come. I want to get to know you as well. So we have a lot of retired ladies. I love you ladies. I know you well. I want you to come. And a lot of ladies in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you all need to come too. So this is for all women of all ages. We're making this very easy. So there's no books. The first study I picked it. It's called Living Life Together. And it's how do we live life together? How do we build relationships? It's a video study. So you don't have to do anything. It's a video. There's a 10-page study guide, which I've condensed to 2 pages. Super easy. And it's going to be Monday nights, second and fourth Mondays at 7 p.m., in the asylum, which if you don't know where the asylum is, you go left through the hallway here and you go up the stairs and it's the giant room in the church building still, not the school building. Lots of seating in there, lots of sofas, comfy chairs. So please, ladies, you don't even have to sign up, just show up. So we would love to have all ladies in their 20s all the way up through whatever age you want. But please join us. I think it's going to be a really good time where we're going to just get to know each other. We've picked the first study. It's the first 4 sessions, 4 nights, and then we'll figure it out from there. So it's in the bulletin, and Angie Hummel also, her email is in there. So if you have any other questions, you can ask me or you can send an email to Angie. So just wanted to let you know. Hopefully we'll see you on June 9th. That's our first one, so not the week of VBS. We figured that would be crazy. So June 9th will be our first one. See you then.
All right, and then you said that Camilla's is tomorrow? Tomorrow is the first Monday, so we're going to have our Dine to Donate at Camilla's tomorrow, so I'll see you all there. And let's see here. The other thing is, here, this is the big one. This is VBS week. Can you tell? We need a little help, though, because we have lots of Bibles in our pews, and we love the children to get into the Bible, but we don't want them to shred the Bibles. So if we could get some people to help us take the Bibles out of the pews, we're going to be stacking them in the prayer chapel and in the cry room. To get them out of the way so that when the children come and enjoy, they don't destroy. All right? All right, with that, God's blessings on your week, and just be praying for us all week long. It's going to be an exciting time.